You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Hello and welcome to TFM Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side Stand Up New York Labs. We're here every Tuesday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I start every episode by thanking you guys. I'm going to thank you once again for getting into this. So pumped to have all these listeners. You guys keep Snapchatting me, you listening, which literally warms my heart. It tickles my balls. Every time I see that Snapchat of you listening to the podcast, I really get so excited. So keep sending those. I'm JTrain56 on Snapchat. Keep telling your friends. Keep spreading to your sorority sisters, your fraternity brothers, your pledge brothers, your high school buddies, your cubicle mate next door to you. I want to keep this growing just as much as it's been going so far. We have some amazing emails this week. They keep getting better and weirder, which is so much fun. And I'm really excited about this week's guest, Bob DeBono. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, buddy.
I'm pumped to have you. We always have a good, like, rat-tat-tat. So I think you're going to be great.
Yeah, good. I'm looking forward. This is fun.
I like it. You're already having
fun. I like the fact you said rat-tat-tat.
Yeah, I like a little rat-tat-tat. Bob is an amazing comic, so funny. You can go follow him on Twitter, at Bob DeBono, at B-O-B-D-I-B-U-O-N-O. Go follow him, at Bob DeBono, BobDeBono.com, YouTube.com/BobDeBono. And you're also on Race Wars, which is on the same network.
Yeah. Been on there for the last couple weeks. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's fun.
And you're doing voices.
I do voices on there. I do celebrity.
I didn't even know you did voices.
I know. It's like saying, Bob, you juggle? Wait a minute.
Yeah. what's your favorite voice that you're doing for them right now?
Well, you know, I started out doing a lot of voices for Jim Brewer on his show on Sirius. And that went on for like 3 years.
Yeah.
So on there, I used to do, and me and like Brewer like do a character, and we don't come out of character. So people actually call in, and they think these celebrities are really on there, and then they're furious.
So what's one of the celebrities?
Like I used to do like Matt Dillon. I did Matt Dillon on there because he loved Matt Dillon, and Matt Dillon, you know, he's always in it. He's like always in movies, but they're never like really popular movies.
Yeah, it's like Wild Things.
Yes. He was in a movie called Armored, 2010, like that no one really knew. Then he was in another one, which was about a heist again. But people don't really know about these movies.
Yeah.
But I like him because he's very obscure. No one really.
I wouldn't even know what he sounds like.
Well, he sounds like this. Him and his brother have the same goddamn tone right here. And I always play kind of a punk in every goddamn movie where I want to kick some girl's boyfriend's ass.
What pissed people off? Like, were there Matt Dillon fans?
Well, I always play him. You always got to find, when you do a voice, you try to find like an angle. Obviously, it's radio, so you want to have a little bit of an angle on it. So I always make him to be like a total dick.
Okay.
Because to me, in all the movies that I loved him in, he was like a bull. Or just an arrogant little
dick.
Well,
Something About Mary, he's perfect in that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the that's how I make him.
I just like the thought of someone being like, you don't do this to Matt Dillon. Yeah. Like some person in Minneapolis being like, how could you? I need to call right now.
Little like 45-year-old fat women call in like, oh my God, I love Matt Dillon. How dare you put him down and debase him on that show? But I was playing Matt and then I'm a dick. So then people would be calling and they'd be actually like all upset. Like, I can't believe Matt said that. And he was talking about like giving a girl a roofie and, you know, six sleep. Being with a girl who's sleeping. I don't just horrible things.
I think it's so funny that I think people just want to be upset.
Yeah.
Like they just want something that they can kind of control being upset about.
And they believe it.
Well, Bob, I'm so
my
pumped to have you here. Out. What's that?
My cord. Can we just...
No, put it in your ear.
My ear.
Yeah. It goes underneath.
Oh, underneath.
Bob's going to fix his...
Bear with me.
His headphones. Get those cans
on.
God. Let's do it. Bob, pumped to have you on. Guys, go follow him at Bob DeBono, BobDibUono, on Twitter, on his website, YouTube, Race Wars. We're going to get into you. Ready?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do some emails, guys. Send in your emails. They're so good. They keep getting better and better. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. tfmpodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending them in. This one's called Little Sister's Tailgate. Hey, man, quick question. I'm a recent college grad who moved for a job that happens to be near my little sister's school. She invited me to her tailgate, and I'm pretty set on going. But I don't want to be that guy. So what's the proper etiquette being that I'm older, the older dude at this tailgate? Also, if one of her sorority sisters were to throw something my way, would it be frowned upon to act on that? Thanks, and keep the podcast coming. Been listening since day one. P.S., get shit sent to BYKOWSKI521 on Snapchat. This fucker submitted me once, and now it's his turn. So that's BYKOWSKI521 if you want to send him shits. What do you think about being the older guy at the tailgate?
First of all, I think you don't want to act old, right?
Yeah, you want to.
So don't make old references.
Yeah, you don't want to come
That's number one.
Yeah, okay. So
don't be like, hey, when the Gin Blossoms come into town to perform?
Yeah, don't.
I can't wait.
You don't want to out yourself. Yeah, you got to be kind of undercover young guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You
got to use their lingo. You can't
totally.
Be, you know.
I mean, I've gone back for tailgates. I have friends that went back. I think he's in the right age group to go to the college tailgate. There's a cutoff.
There
Do you
is.
Know what I mean? Where you can't be, like, I'm probably above that. I'm above that cutoff where I could be like, okay, I'm coming to the tailgate, because everyone's like, who's this dad that just showed up?
What is your number? What's the number for the cutoff?
I think 27.
You do? Okay.
And you're out of the... Also, having the little sister there, there's no cutoff if it's a sibling, cousin, that type of relationship.
Because you could say, I'm only here to
I'm here. You have the, yeah.
She wants me here.
My
and,
sister invited me.
Right,
I'm just the older
I'm
brother.
Protecting her.
I'm here. Oh, I want to check it out. It's cool.
Yeah.
People love that. And, and also, it's like, oh, that's cool that you want to be with your little sister.
Yeah.
That you like each other. Like, your girls will get into that.
Yeah, they will.
I think if you have no connection, I also think it works if you're friend of the guy with the little sister.
You're in
by association.
He's visiting for the weekend,
totally.
And he just came with us.
You can't be rando guy I once hooked up with one of the chicks in your sorority, so I'm coming to the tailgate. You can't be that guy.
And how about I never went to school here?
Yeah,
I'm just here
just
for
showed
no
up. Yeah, I just
I'm here for UNH's homecoming.
I was
you go to UNH. No, I went to Quinnipiac.
Yeah, I was at the 7-Eleven, and you guys were hot. So
graduated 86.
You got to have a story to be at the tailgate.
Yeah,
I think that's the big thing.
Got to be a link.
When you're the graduated person from the school, have a story. Oh, I'm here with that guy. Now it dissolves the awkwardness, because there will be a point where someone who's in college will be fucking hammering. They'll be like, what are you doing here? And you'll be like, you have beers. And like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But because if you can play it off, you can play it off where you're like, well, you guys were just hot. So I just said, fuck it. And then people are like, we'll kind of give you respect for that. But if a dude comes up to you, it's kind of like you're going to have that moment where a dude's going to be like, why are you trying to get with our strange?
He's going to confront you.
Yes. The chicks don't even understand.
No.
It's the dudes you have to worry about, because you're going to have a dude come up to you and be like, what's the deal, bro?
And he's going to say it loud enough that everyone hears it.
Everyone hears
it. It's never
it.
Like in the kitchen, like takes you aside.
No.
Dude, what brought you here? It's going to be in front of like all the hot girls.
Exactly.
He's going to try to like completely embarrass you.
Yeah, he wants to let everyone know that you need to take, you're so old, you need to take Viagra.
The only,
just to wake up in the morning.
The only savior you got at that moment, you have to go, no, you don't get it. I'm the beer distributor.
Yeah.
I'm the one who brought all this shit.
You got to show up with a beer trolley, the two-wheeler.
With an apron, with a picture of a mug on it.
Yeah, I also think there's a couple pieces of advice as the graduate at the young have a story that connects you to why you should be there, even if it's made up. You got to make up a solid.
Yeah.
My sister's here. This is my last week to live. So this is my make a wish.
Yeah.
You know,
or put it on your sister. My sister's dying.
Yeah, my sister.
I'm here.
Give her a disease that doesn't show, not a showy disease.
I'm part of the make a wish.
Yeah.
She wanted me here for her last week.
I think, and if her friends try to hook up with you, that is the best case scenario. Also, here's the major advice I'll give. When you're the alumni at the tailgate, you have to treat it as if it's a marathon, not a sprint. Because you will see guys, you want the college kids putting on that college early drunk. Let them wear themselves out like a baby who's crying at night. Let those dudes go crazy. And, you know, they're going to be stars, but they're going to be like comets. You're going to see them for 5 seconds, and then they're going to disappear.
They're going to blow out.
You want your flame to last. You want to be like one of those candles Jews light when someone dies in the family that lasts the whole year.
1:30 a.m. Everyone's passed out. You're still going.
You're still hanging.
And all the girls are like, well, he's the only one left.
This is it. I've seen it at weddings. I've seen it at bar mitzvahs. I've seen it at tailgates. You want to be that long play guy. So you don't want to wear yourself out too early. So as the older guy, I encourage you, you know, you want to start where you're drinking something that maybe is kind of like a low man drink.
Fresca.
Well, just have a Fresca. Looks like a vodka soda.
They
it
don't
really
know.
Isn't. They don't know. Now that you have to use your experience to your advantage, then what's going to happen is everyone's going to go to the game. You'll go to the game. You have to also be the guy who knows how to get alcohol into the game. Like, you're just going to be the Swiss Army knife of this party. Oh, yeah. Sip on my flask, ladies. I got another flask. It's right in my pants. You
know, and girls will love the fact that you're so useful.
You're in the know.
Now you're in, he's got it.
Yeah, he's got this flask. And and that's the thing. You don't make your play for the chicks at the tailgate as the older guy is just to be seen. And then everyone's like, oh, that's the guy that's his sister when they're wondering who you are. Then you go into the tailgate. Hey, what's up? I'm so-and-so's brother. And you go into the game. You're like, oh, I'm so-and-so's brother. Oh yeah, I saw you at the tailgate. You want a hit of my flask? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're gonna go to this bar afterwards, and you know the alumni bar. Now the girl's, you know, into it, and she looks over to the corner, and there's just a guy passed out on his shoulder.
And they also like especially if you know a lot of people. Like, I used to walk into a bar and just shout to people that were invisible, like, Joe, we're coming right over. Yeah. Oh, he's the bartender. Joe, we'll be right there. And they're like, oh my, you know the bartender?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I know the manager. I'm just yelling at random people in the room. They're not even there.
Great move. I just think for any alumni at the tailgate, long play it. Don't get too drunk. Don't be that guy, because here's the other thing that I've had alumni come to the tailgate and they'll get too drunk because they haven't drank like a college kid for a little bit. So they're out of practice when they really think that they're
not
in practice.
They're not in drunk shape.
They're not in drunk shape. So what they'll do is they'll get too hammered. And then as a college kid, it's really fun to be like, look at that fucking loser who can't handle it. And he's older than me with a job.
Yeah.
He might have a job, but he can't handle Fireball.
Yeah.
You know, and then
he's got good credit.
Yeah.
He's got a job. Ugh.
Oh, screw him. What a loser. But he can't handle that. He can't handle the Rumplements.
Yeah.
TFMpodcast at gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Here with Bob DeBono. At Bob DeBono. Frosh looking to bang upperclassmen. Anyways, I'm from Kentucky, going to school in California. Things are off to a solid start. The chicks out here seem to enjoy the Southern charm. Come to think about it, that's a great nickname for my dick. I don't think you just came to think about it.
Literally.
It's a creepy dick name.
He 100% calls that all
He calls
the time.
His dick Southern Charm.
Oh, Lord.
Say hello to Southern Charm. And then you just see a big herpy. get that Southern Charm away from me. I don't think that's a good name for your dick.
That's ridiculous. First of all, it's not intimidating.
I
should be angry.
No, I want like, just go name your dick Kim Davis.
Yeah, something, right, something fucking psychotic.
Yeah. However, the only girls that have enjoyed said charm. However, the only girls that have fully enjoyed said charm are freshmen. How do I enter the big leagues and start slamming upperclassmen poon? I have a few in mind, but it's a small school, so I need to spread myself out a bit. So any older, more experienced lady friend will do. Of course, no whales. J-Train, enlighten me with your wisdom and sageness. Best jackass. And then he has a totally different question. I think this is the reason I read this email. The other one's a better question. Totally different question, but how do I bang a chick I have completely disappointed in bed again? Send all the shits and maybe a few tits to sites for three and DROLEN24 on Snapchat. That's a funny back-to-back. He's asking, how do I bang older chicks?
Right.
And how do I also bang the girl I just disappointed in bed? These are,
but yeah, it's such a paradox. It's yeah. It's contradictory.
Yeah, it doesn't make
I
sense.
I want to bang chicks, but by the way, I'm bad in bed. Well, there's your problem. Maybe that's why you're not banging even the girls your own age.
Yeah, I don't, maybe the girls your own age are like, ugh, we can't
yeah,
tell
we're telling all of our friends that are older. You stink.
Have you ever had gone back with a girl that you've done badly in bed with?
Yeah, yes.
How
I have a horrible story, actually.
Tell it.
Well, this is all right. this is awful. I was in Vegas. Girl in the front row. I'm performing. I ask, "What do you do?" She goes, "Oh, I'm a porn chick. I do porn."
Oh, okay.
Immediately, I'm 5 minutes into the show. I'm doing 45. Now I'm so horny as a man. I'm sure we've done.
She's just said the word porn, yeah. And you're like, okay, right. I can't concentrate right. on anything.
So at that point, like most comics, the rest of the show meant nothing to me, nor the audience.
There was literally 1,000 people there, but one person yeah. has to laugh.
There was 300 people there, and I did no jokes the rest of the show, and just focused all my questions. Basically, interviewed her,
yeah.
and tried to suit her and court her. With my stupidity.
Okay.
So then the show ends. She's like, and then the middle guy was trying to hook up with her. She didn't give him any attention. And then somehow she had this weird, like, oh, you're from Jersey? I'm from Jersey. Like the weirdest little connections make yeah. people excited. I'm like, okay.
I hate when people, like this happens a lot, especially like in new places. Like if you go to like your first year of college, people are like, Jersey? Yeah. Jersey! Yeah, and like, you're like, no one's ever been excited about Jersey ever. Yeah.
And we're not in fucking Brazil. Yeah. It's like everyone here is from somewhere
yeah,
else.
It makes sense that we'd be from a similar place.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, idiots. So we go back to, I'm like, let me go. So I tried a stupid line. I go, let's go back to my room and let me see some of your work. You just saw mine. Let's see yours.
That's great.
Yeah. Go back, go on the computer. And I think I'm going to see some like vivid videos with her like hot by the pool yeah. with these hot guys. Video number one, her being smashed by like three like ghetto guys. Okay. Big afros, hair pick, sweating,
yeah.
socks on.
Socks on. I mean, that may as well yeah. be shot in Harlem
okay,
at that point.
Dude.
Yeah.
And one guy had one yeah. shoe on. He didn't even have both shoes on.
I've seen this type of porn though that you're talking
dude,
about.
It's
like it's like the most
yeah,
like
it's awful.
There's somebody that gets off to the fact that like oh, we're going to send this like innocent girl
yeah.
to a crack house. A cartoon ghetto. Like yeah. what a old white man would describe as the yeah. ghetto. Like in everyone's got one shoe.
Yeah.
That's how the ghetto is.
And then it's one of those videos you could see the guy in the background with the camera like in the gaffer another. Is in the background. You're like, "Dude, you can't even edit right. You can't even crop that guy out, you idiot."
No
post editing.
This is like world star hip hop
yeah.
porn.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
so you're yeah. watching this
world
Horrible thing.
Southern Charm. So on sweating, and I'm like immediately I'm
so
I'm
you're watching
out.
This. What is she saying? Like, oh, look at the lighting here. Look at the
she's like,
look at the decisions I made here as an actress.
She's proud. She's like, look at that. And I'm like, oh, what do you want me to compliment you
yeah.
on? The fact that three guys are like ganging on you? Like what I don't know what you
good job with the choking.
Yeah. Yeah. Second video. So first video, I'm grossed out.
Yeah.
But then yet still in my mind, because she's very attractive, I'm unbelievable, like, oh my God, she's really hot.
Yeah, you'll
though.
Get over it.
So I'll push it back. I'm yeah, over it. I'm over that.
This is why it's not like a girl where it's like you see one thing and you're like, I cannot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, oh, I saw her just shitting in a cup, but okay, let me just go look at her
yeah,
for 5 seconds.
Yeah, you rationalize
it.
You're like, oh, well, everyone takes shits.
Yeah.
And it's probably a good shit and it smells prime. So now in the next video.
She filled up the whole cup.
Yeah, the whole cup. She's got a healthy appetite. Second video is her filleting a guy and she's vomiting. It's like a fetish site. She's vomiting all over the guy's thing.
What? Does she only do specialty?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I'm furious.
Okay.
Now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, where the fuck is like the video with the pool and the hot, and you yeah. with the hot girl? Where's that?
Where is this?
You call yourself a porn star?
Where,
you're not a porn star.
Where's the one she shows her grandpa?
Right.
You know, I want to see the classy
shit. How about with your grandpa in it? I'd rather
yes.
see one with your grandfather in it.
Show me some white people is what you're saying.
So
yeah.
now I'm like, are there any white people you've ever slept with? Anybody? I'll take an Asian. At
yeah,
this point, I beg you.
I'll take a blurred out cock.
So we get done with that. Now she wants to have sex. Okay. And we're on like the 38th floor.
What an appetizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we go take a shower.
Okay.
I'm like in one of her Johns. She's like, I'm like, want to? And I'm like, I'm like a Catholic boy. I'm like shutting like the blinds in the room. And
you're in your head about it.
Yeah. And we're in the 38th floor. So one part of me is like, oh my God, this is a great experience. Porn chick, wild, crazy, great story.
Vegas.
Other story in my mind is like my mother going, oh my God, I raised you with the moral fiber to be with a girl who does pornography with three black men pummeling her.
I can't believe your mom is Gary Busey.
She's, weird. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Jesus, my Lord. I didn't raise at least two black men, but three? Where's your morals?
So what happened?
Then my father's in there too. Yeah. You know, Jesus Christ, you're going to get AIDS.
That's how it goes.
So I go, she wants to, and I say, I can't have sex with you. And she goes, what? And this is what leads up to me being a bad partner, because she wants to have sex. I go, I can't. And then she goes, why? Mm. And I literally, this is all true. I go, well, I because, you know, you have AIDS, but I'll like fool around with you. Like I'll like punch your, I don't know, punch you in the tits or like grab your, I don't know what you want me to do.
I'll do what you're into. I just saw a few weird things. I mean, that
I'll puke on you if you want. So she's like, you're kidding, right? I go, no, I'm serious. I you know, you definitely have. She goes, I don't have AIDS. I go, you've definitely.
Well, you just accused her of having AIDS?
Yeah. Okay. I
thought you were joking.
I didn't accuse her. I diagnosed her
you
with
did.
AIDS.
You did?
I said, you have AIDS.
How did you?
You have AIDS. You have AIDS.
That's how you get it.
And then
porno.
There was a silent pause for like 4.5 minutes where she stared at me like with a weird smile like, are you kidding, right? You are going to want to have sex with me. And I'm like, no, I'll stick like my finger in your butt or I'll punch your clit. I don't know what you want, but I'm not doing that. You have AIDS.
I'll use any of my extremities except for my dick.
And then she goes, well, why? And I go, well, first of all, and then I brought the video back up. I said, first of all, one sock.
And then
shoe.
I mean, that's
one shoe.
Nothing is a bigger turnoff than one sock.
What? Nothing. Nothing says AIDS more than one shoe on.
That's how magic got it.
This guy's so diseased that he couldn't even put his. He was too weak to get all of his clothes on.
Absolutely.
So we don't do it. So we fool around, and we do all the foreplay, and I'm actually interviewing her while I'm going downstairs.
Well, now
which
you're,
is worse. Because then I'm like, you obviously were molested. She's like, why would you say that? I said, well, because I did papers in college, and 80% of women are in porn have been molested.
It's so funny to me that you are like signing
this is
up.
All true.
You're signing up for this as you're accusing her of all this horrible
shit. This is this is why it all leads to how do you be a bad partner? I'm having sex with her, but at the same time, I'm insulting her.
Yes.
I'm insulting her character, her being, every fiber in her body. I'm basically saying you're a piece of shit.
Well, there's something to that where it's like you can get in your own head and be like, I've been in situations where you're like, why am I doing this? Where you're having reluctant sex.
I was saying it to her while I was doing
you're
it.
You're literally like, explaining to her all the shit that you would say to yourself after you come.
Yeah. When you're climaxing, you're like, I have AIDS.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to
like
die.
You immediately think, she's pregnant. I have AIDS. So, we're going to know each other the rest of our lives. And it's interesting because I think the worst sexual experiences are the ones that you're not fully into.
Oh, yeah, they're awful.
And that's a weird thing to think, but we've all thought it at one point. We're like, yeah, but it's sex.
Or
you know,
if you didn't have a condom on, you ever have a sex with someone you don't have a condom on, and the whole time you're worried about either getting them pregnant or you're getting a venereal disease?
Yeah.
So you're almost like your penis is like actually not even fully hard. It's like almost like your penis shrinks, and it's still inside, but it's like this, protecting itself.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God, I'm probably going to get something. And you're not even going all the way in because you're like, maybe if I just go half in. Only
it's this weird thing. It's like when you eat unhealthy.
Yeah.
Do you know when you eat unhealthy and you're like, and you know you're full, but you're like, I'm going to eat healthy tomorrow. I have to keep eating.
Yeah.
You know, like you're like, I don't want the other half of this cheeseburger, but I'm not having cheeseburgers the rest of the week.
Well, yeah.
So I need to finish all of it. It's the same thing with sex.
You're like, well, it's my cheat day.
Yes.
So I might as well go all the way.
I have to go all the way. Even though, like, and it's like, even though, because our whole life, we're just like, well, we want to have sex. I want to have sex with every girl. And then you get in the position where you get to have sex with a girl and you're like, Yeah, I probably would have wanted it to be in someone else that I like a little bit more.
I think sometimes it's just your ego as a guy because you want to know that you can have it or get it.
Yeah.
And then it's like they always say, it's not the kill, it's the thrill of the chase. And then when you've got actually the kill and the chase is over and she's succumbing to your stupidity that she wants to be with you.
Yeah.
And you're like, maybe it's not that.
What's
great.
The point of this? Yeah, I gotta wake up tomorrow.
3 o'clock in the morning. She's drunk. I'm drunk.
Drive home. You start thinking about all the other shit.
Yeah.
That has nothing. You're like, I'm kind of hungry. And I can have a bagel.
Yeah, this is my cheat day. I could be eating right now.
I hear it. I think that this guy, I mean.
So here's the ending. You want to hear the ending?
Please.
Oh, so then
she has AIDS.
You have AIDS. I diagnosed her with AIDS.
Yeah.
We fool around, but then I went downstairs with my.
You have AIDS, but I'll go down on you.
Which, by the way, to all you guys out there that are listening, that is actually just as bad, if not worse, because you can get a disease, any sort of. Mouth, yeah. Whatever.
You get what they call showers.
Yeah, you'll
diseases
wake up,
that show on you.
You'll wake up with a new set of teeth.
Yeah,
I mean this.
All of a sudden, you're a shark with rows of teeth.
Yeah, you have like a fang coming out of your cheek.
Yeah,
because that's just as bad. And I didn't know. I thought I was just trying to be a gentleman because I wanted to please her so she'd go back and tell her whore friends that I was really good, because I'm thinking in my mind, because I'm sick, that when I come back to Vegas I'll have a harem of slutty whore porn chicks waiting for me that heard the good news
with signs, like it's like college game day. They're just holding signs like, we heard you're gonna fist us.
And other signs that go, we don't have AIDS. So I figured I'd have this harem, and then so I'm like, I got to do something to make her happy. But so I'm doing this, but I don't really know in my mind that that's bad. So then it ends. The next time she follows me again to Reno, Nevada. A month later, she shows up. Sees it on Facebook. Shows up again at my hotel. Boom! I came to visit you. I want to be with you. And of course, I'm like, it's much different. It's a month later. I go, look, absolutely, let's fool around. Can't. You still have AIDS.
Okay.
So I'm not going to have sex. I'm not going to fuck you.
Yeah.
But I will still, I'll punch you in the tits. I'll grab your clit. But, and first of all, who's.
Who grabs a clit? Suitcase? Okay.
Who grabs a clit?
Your sex with you sounds dangerous.
Awful.
I'll punch your tit, grab you in the clit. I'll use your ass
clit.
Like a bowling ball.
Grab
your can't
clit
wait.
Like you're opening like a door of to an airplane bathroom.
Yeah. The descriptives on this podcast have been amazing.
It's awful.
Like, so what happens?
So this is the best part. So I don't have sex with her. I go down on her again because I didn't learn at this point that it was bad.
The first time you didn't get herpes, so why would you the second time?
Then I was very insecure because I hadn't had my back waxed in like 3 years.
Okay.
So I had her shave it, and I took pictures of her shaving my back.
Wait a minute.
It's all true, dude.
Punching her tit and grabbing her clit, are you like, okay, now get the aloe out. I got the Gillette. I got the razors. Dollar Shave Club. Get on it. Like, how do you tell her to do that?
I was very, I think she liked dominance. I was like, I was ordering her around. At first I said, you have AIDS again. Then she was like still in shock. There was like an 8 minute pause of silence. She looked like half smiling, half crying. Then I said, get in the bathroom. She thinks we're going to take a shower. I go, no, you're going to shave my back and my upper butt.
Upper butt. Okay.
Then we go in the other room.
Upper butt. Used ever.
Ever. How about this? Shave my rhomboids.
Okay.
I said that too. I used a little medical term, a little kinesiology.
Just to show her that you do have the credibility to diagnose with AIDS if you know what a rhomboid
women
is.
Women are very impressed by intelligence.
Yeah.
And she was dumb as a doornail. So if you say rhomboid.
She sounds like a genius, but go on.
Sounds like an appetizer at like an Afghan restaurant. I'll have the rhomboids, please. On the side. No olive oil. So then that was it. And then we don't have sex again, fool around again. I go down on her. I go back 3 months later. My friends are like legendary. They're like, oh my God. They're telling all their friends.
Can you say what her name is? Or is we're going to keep
her,
it?
No.
Can people look her up? I mean.
I guess to protect her.
Let's
anonymity.
Protect her, yeah.
But she had a porn name and it was Ricky. I'll just say her first name was Ricky. So look up all the Rickies.
Yeah, you can. There's a lot of guys that are going to have a long night tonight.
Yeah. But. Climaxing over Ricky's. So anyway, I contacted her.
If you find her, just imagine her shaving the upper butt.
and back. And rhomboids of Bob DeBono.
So what happened?
So that I go back 3 months, 2 months later, and I contact her, and she doesn't call me back.
Oh, she's and not I'm, enough.
Yeah. And I call my, this is where we lead to the beginning of the story where horrible partner. And I call my friend because I'm so narcissistic because we're comedians and I'm delusional. I call my friend going, I can't believe that she didn't get back to me. And my friend's like, dude, are you kidding? Like, dude, you wouldn't have sex with her, which is so undignifying to a woman to make her feel ugly that you wouldn't have sex with her. You told her she had AIDS.
Yeah.
You made her shave your back. And then you interviewed her and told her she was sexually molested while you were going down on her. Are you kidding? Why would she come back to that well?
I don't think I'm you disappointed her mentally.
Yeah.
As you know, not even just physically. Awful. You disappointed her in every way.
Isn't that hilarious?
I mean, I've been with girls where I've just like turned over. I've been like one pump and then I'm like, that's it.
I'm done.
My bad.
Yeah.
And I think just owning it.
Yeah.
It's like the best thing you can do.
You got to own it. If you don't own it, then people think there's something wrong with you. If you just say, it's a bad night.
Bad night. What can I do?
Yeah. Listen, I got to do my taxes in the morning.
Yeah. I was in my head. Give me 20 minutes. Let me see if I can make this happen again. The worst is when you have a bad performance and then you're like, give me some. My bad. Fuck.
Let me. What just, is a bad performance?
And then you come. I think like.
For you.
I think what I like to do is. In my mind, if I can go 2.5 minutes, I'm like, I've done enough.
Do you climax?
No, then I'm like, okay, now we're just dealing with cream.
Yeah.
You know, like now I'm playing with house money. Like let me put away my 2.5 minutes in my pocket.
Yeah.
That's what I started with.
And they go back to the room.
And
I'm done.
I can play
cash
with the
out.
Winnings.
Cash out.
You know, I'm just like, I'll just start going rogue with different maneuver, whatever I can do at that point. But I've had points where I've been so bad the first time that I'm like, listen, I'll call
so
back.
So bad meaning the medical term is called retarded ejaculation. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
It's called retarded ejaculation, where you ejaculate prematurely.
I will just go, if that happens, the worst is when you have that happen and then you're like, give me some time. You start like whittling at your penis, like, you know, like you just start going to work at it.
You're, and, like, you're tapping them, you're plucking them.
Yeah.
You ever do the pluck?
What's the pluck?
You pluck the top of your penis. You're like kneading it.
She'll do the move where she'll get involved, and then I'll be like, I'll take my hand and I'll push her aside. Like, listen, let the professionals get into this, and then I start going at it, and I bring it back to life. And then the worst is when you premature again.
Right.
You're like, this never happens except twice tonight.
I'm so good. It's not your fault. I'm just so good at it.
I'm just so into you.
Yeah.
You know, you're just so, I don't know. I just think girls understand that shit. And
they
also, if they're really, I think if you go back again, the important thing is to not put pressure on yourself. Be happy that you're there.
And you do have to, like you said, you got to own it and you got to acknowledge it. Otherwise, they'll really think something's wrong with you because they're like, didn't this guy realize it was premature? If you put it on them, like you said, you're so hot. I just couldn't stop.
If you don't acknowledge it, they're going to be like, oh, this is maybe his best time.
How about this one? My problem is sometimes I can't climax.
We've had people email that in the past.
But for months.
Really?
For like multiple, like 12, 14 times, I'll do it and just nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. And then I go, oh, I'm tired.
And that's got to be disappointing.
Yeah, for me, it's, I don't know what's wrong with my
Everyone's
penis.
Just like, do you ever, like, what does a girl say?
She's like, my ex-girlfriend used to get offended. She'd be like, start crying. She'd start crying, like sobbing. Like, is it me? I'm like, no, it's not you. It's all the other women I can't be with. That's what's probably causing this.
Do you think there's a way to get with older women? He also asked about getting.
Older women love young guys. They love them.
I think it's tough as a freshman, though. You know so little that, like, you don't even know where the classes are. Like, what do they think that you're going to know how to please them?
I think it's better when you're young. If you're that, like a freshman, you got to empower them by always giving them the power to go, oh, you could teach me.
Yes.
Because they like that. They like, oh, he's cute. It's like when women, you ever go out to a bar and there's like a midget in the bar and all the women are flirting with him?
Why'd you whisper midget? Okay.
You know, like there's like that. That's horrible to say. No, you don't say midget, right? What do you call
people?
Inferior?
Yeah.
Well, there's one in the room. That's so why don't you just ask him?
Ask him.
Where is
you didn't see him.
Oh, there he is. Sorry, dude. We didn't see you. You were under the radiator. So, yeah, like they get all this attention. Why? Because women love sometimes to feel like they're the instructor.
Yes.
They're the dominant. They're taking care of you. So you got to play the part. If you try to be something you're not and you act all old, they're going to be like, dude, you're barely 18.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think let's go to the next email. I think that's good advice. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Here with Bob DeBono. At Bob DeBono on Twitter. Go follow him. Support him. Flight attendants. You fly around a lot.
I do.
Yo, J Plane 57. Big fan. Love the podcast. Yada, yada. To the point. I work for a consulting company. I travel very often. I'm really into flight attendants. They're really hot. However, I only managed to have short conversations that have only gotten so far. What's the move here? Thanks.
First of all, hot flight attendants, I don't find them hot ever anymore. I think years ago they used to be hot. Like,
have you ever
when we were younger?
British Airways.
Oh, never. Okay.
Okay. British Airways, Virgin.
Really? I've never been on any of these.
JetBlue.
Yeah, JetBlue.
JetBlue has some cute ones.
Not bad.
I do know what you're talking about.
I get like the 48-year-old, like wrinkled Florida. Hey, so, you know.
Oh, you don't get like.
Broken down.
I think I'll find myself hornier on flights for some reason.
You get hornier on flights?
Yes. I don't know what it is.
Long flights or doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter. Just being in the airport, the whole process.
Yeah.
Gets me hard. I don't know what it is. And the girls are dressed. I think also the girls are dressed like big pillows. Like, you know, like every girl
you mean the girls fly? Just
anyone flying.
Because they're flying very comfortable.
Yeah, girls are always in like yoga pants with a big sweatshirt.
Yeah,
they look
true.
Like I would want to like use them as a body pillow.
Yeah, you want to lay
next
to
them. And usually like that would be a moment where I'm sitting with a body pillow that I'd want to whack off. So I think all the association and also like
they're
the
all triggers. They're triggers.
Yeah, they're all triggers. And the only ones dressed up are the flight attendants. You know, so then you look at them and you're like, oh, look at someone came to play. It's like, oh, you got dressed up for me?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You got kind of that in your
head.
Play
that whole fantasy in your head.
Yeah. So like, you know, you got the pillow women, you got the dressed up hot flight attendant that's serving you.
Yeah.
You know, you get a nice little drunk on the plane. Then you start like, then you get that random boner mid-flight.
That
you're
I've
like,
gotten
I
that.
Can't get rid of this.
Then you go to the bathroom and then you lock yourself in there for like 8 minutes. And you don't even have to go to the bathroom. You're just kneading your
You're
your
just
balls.
Like, I need a break. I need a moment.
You're playing with your penis. You don't come, but you just play off the fantasy in your mind with pillow girl and you're just kind of stroking it.
Yeah, that's the thing about like, and it's always that the problem is it's at the end of like a long of a trip that you're feeling this way. So also you might have some backup, like some backlog of some demons inside of you.
Yeah,
you
gotta, they have to come out.
Yeah, they gotta
they
come
have
out.
To come out.
Like, you ever been with like a bunch of your buddies like on a bachelor party weekend or like you go? I remember I went on a long weekend.
Those are the worst.
I went on a long weekend to like the Jersey Shore with a bunch of friends and we were all sitting in the car driving back and it was like this long car ride and we were all like. Talking and we got to talking about like how fucking horny we all were and we all kind of had this moment where we all three of us looked at each other and we were like one of us was like it's weird that we're all sitting at each other and we're gonna just walk out of this car and immediately lock ourselves in our bedroom and whack off immediately after seeing each other. And we all kind of were like, yeah, we're definitely all going to do that. It's kind of sad
it's
and
a moment
weird.
Of sadness.
And just that moment of like, oh, I know we're all going to be doing that same horrible deed.
Horrible.
I don't know. So I think that has to do with it a lot. And that's kind of what this guy, I don't know the way to play the flight attendant. The way I've always played it with flight attendant, I've never hooked
be
up.
Funny.
With be funny.
Be funny. Be funny. And don't be overtly aggressive. Just be funny and make like little innuendos.
Make fun of someone else. Use someone else on the plane to make your jump off point. I think there's a lot of fat, disgusting people on flights, and they get even fatter and more disgustinger on flights. You know, you ever see those like those tumblers of like people like taking off their shoes on planes?
Oh my God.
Like there's one of a guy that's just shirtless.
Yeah.
So I think like using them to your advantage. So and you got to the way you test it out with the flight because the flight attendants.
She's got to be kind of PC because it's your job.
But she hates people just as much as
just
you.
Just as you. You know where you get them? I'll tell you where. When you go to the bathroom and they're sitting in the back.
Yes.
There'll be like two of them. They're always talking and one's reading a book. Well, you're waiting for the bathroom and there's a line. That's when you can. I do my best work talking to a stewardess. I'll be there 5, 6, 7 minutes.
Yeah. And you say like, I'm always ordering like, hey, I'm going to get a vodka. And then they'll slip you another one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when you know you're in.
Or you go, oh, I'm so tired, so late last night. Then you slip in what you do for a living. Like, oh, I do this, my job, I'm traveling. And it must be hard for you traveling. You know, you're traveling all the time. I don't know what it's like for you.
Yeah.
And next thing you know,
and then you
get
ask
that
them how long they're in the city. Are you guys based in New York?
Then you get the email. This is what I do. I always get the email going, oh, I'm a comic. Here, my website, bobdemono.com.
If you're you
in
do
the
that?
City. Yeah, I absolutely do. Yeah. And no one ever comes. So don't listen to me.
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We got time for a couple more emails. Let's go to here with Bob DeBono at Bob DeBono. Let's do dating a pro athlete. Dear J Bone, don't get too hard over the name. If I didn't love Wedding Crashers so much, you wouldn't have gotten it. Anyways, quick question for you. Let's get down to business. I'm a junior in college at the number one hookup school in the nation, apparently. Anyways, this summer I had a thing with a girl who is a professional athlete. And then he writes in parentheses, no, she doesn't play a dykey female sport. So progressive, man. Not one of those dykey ones. What?
Yeah.
Field hockey.
Yeah. Dyke.
I didn't know. What pro?
Softball.
She's not a golfer.
She plays softball, but she's not a catcher.
Her and I have been friends for over 10 years, but for some reason this summer was different. Her and I hung out more than we ever have and really hit it off. The question now is, what do I do? When I left for school, one of our mutual friends said I should date her because I'll never find someone like her again. She's really into me, but the problem is I'm stuck at school for 8 months, and she'll be traveling the country competing in events. If I wasn't in school, unless she's on the U.S. soccer team, how hot could she be?
And also, yeah, why is he being a little vague on what she... What? Tell us what the sport is.
If I wasn't in school, I don't think the separation would be a problem, but being separated for extremely long periods of time at a school where the poon flows on the regular will not be easy.
Professional athlete could be anything. She could be like a chess player.
I like her a lot, and our friend is right. I don't think I'll ever find someone like her again, but do you think those qualities will be worth throwing away 2 years of endless puss? Thanks for the advice, keeping it real on the podcast. Nobody tells it better than you. Thanks, man. What do you think? I think his whole perspective is fucked. Because he's put her on such a pedestal that if he does date her, he's just going to be some whipping boy and be like, how's the road?
You got to be realistic, right? And you're not going to, you hardly see each other. Just say, look, this is what you say. I love being with you. When we can be together, let's be together because I love
being
with you.
But
that's it. Leave it like that and then just go off and you got to live your life.
Live in the vague. I think that's totally. I don't even think saying that will help. I once dated this girl and it was like right after college and I was thinking like, I want to be with her, but I don't want to be with her. And I tried being like, when we're together. And I said,
when we're together.
We're together, we're together. When we're apart, we're apart. Saying that ruined everything.
Why?
Because it was like taking the curtain off. It was like me saying, oh, I'm trying to fuck if I'm not with you. Like, you know, instead of just being like, hey, what's happening? Like when I'm in the city. I think like not going, not kind of, if you don't put terms on something, then it's a little more sexy. It's also
mysterious.
There's mystery to it. You're not. It's kind of when you do sales, it's like the under promise, over deliver. You know,
right?
So when you put terms on something, now you have a level that you have to deliver on.
Right.
Like if you can't even live, even if you're in the same city.
What if you just actually use that verbiage to a girl and you go, look, I want to really deliver for you. And then she'll go, what? And then you just hang up.
And that's a really vague.
Yeah. Like, what?
And then she's just.
He threw this sales line at me. I don't know what that means. Then you go, it's a win-win.
But if you say to her, like, when we're together, we're together. When we're apart, now you're saying, okay, when we're apart, we got to be going and fucking.
Yeah.
Like you don't even let the idea of you stay, you know, being true to her when you're apart be an imagination for her.
Yeah.
Or for you. Yeah. So I think just saying, you know, keeping in touch, sending a text, hey, how's your field hockey game going? How's your size 20 dress fitting? No, like, I don't know. Like, how?
How's your size 11 foot?
Yeah.
Oh, gotta go. Got a girl coming over, getting laid. Bye.
Yeah, I just think, like, the...
Time to deliver.
You have such a... You have 2 years... You said you have 8 months, like, where you're not going to be with this girl. Just let her know, hey, I'm thinking about you. Just that little gesture is enough without having to go the extra step of like saying, well, what are we?
Yeah, you're right. Because people want to lock in a title. They want to put a title on
Because also what he's done in his email, he's like, I'll never do as good as her. She's a professional athlete. Yeah, that might be nice. But like, if she's a professional athlete, that means she's an A personality. That means she doesn't want to be with someone who's like.
She's ambitious. She's out there. She may never go anywhere. She's got a life.
But she wants you to be as ambitious as her. So she doesn't want you just getting through the next 8 months. She wants you crushing the next 8 months.
And she'll respect you more if you have your own life. And she sees, whoa, this guy's really doing his own thing. He's not codependent with me. He's got his own life. And that makes you more attractive.
Totally. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. tfmpodcast@gmail.com. There was one I wanted to read. This guy, he's got an issue. We're here with Bob DeBono, at Bob DeBono. While I'm looking for this email, guys, I'm going to colleges this next few months. I'm going to be in Florida. I'm going to be in Wisconsin. I'm going to be Chicago. I'm going to be Virginia, D.C. If you're near any of those cities and you want me to come to your school, email my college booking manager, harryschmuckler@gmail.com. harryschmuckler@gmail.com. Harry, harryschmuckler@gmail.com. And get in touch. Let them know you want me to come to your school, and we'll walk you through the process. It's pretty easy, but I would love to come to your school.
And we'll have sex with the sorority girls.
Yes.
For you.
And give them AIDS. That's part of the deal.
And give them AIDS. Part of the package.
And tell them they have AIDS. Straight dudes being totally gay. What's up, Jew Train? I'm one of your high school listeners. My buddy and I joke around by saying shit like, thanks, big guy, and hey, cutie. But we're totally straight and love some pussy.
I call my friends a pussy and then I fuck them.
And then you fuck and then you then you get mad. Why? We only do that shit as a joke every once in a while, not like every 5 minutes. Do you think this sort of shit is funny or just a faggot thing to do?
Faggot.
Man, threw out that F word really easily. We'd love your input in this shit. Love the show and spread the word about TFM. What do you think about, like, you know, it's kind of like it's weird because right now I've been calling my friends gay for years.
I have too. Yep,
and now it's like, it kind of is in this icky territory where you're like, you're offending people.
Well, especially if they're gay. I used to tell my gay friends they were gay.
Yeah, well, before they told anyone else.
I used to pull them out of the closet before they walked out.
See, that's a tough move. What do you think?
Queer.
I mean, I do go up to my friends and, like, I mean, I told this before on the podcast. I used to pee next to people at fraternity parties and just look over at their dick and go, you call that a dick? Like, that was my move.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's, like, at least more.
I can't believe you looked at their dick. I think I'm a closet homosexual because I can't look at another man's penis.
Oh, I'm always looking at dicks.
I'm afraid to look at it.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to know where I stand.
I'm the guy in the bathroom who goes in there, can't pee next to everyone else in line, so then has to walk.
Are you kidding
me? I swear to God. I walk. If there's, like, a line of seven guys.
I prefer to be next to somebody.
This is why I'm a fucking loser. Seven guys in line, they're all peeing, right? I go next to the guys. There's always one guy spitting in the urinal.
Yeah.
That's like an alpha male thing. Yeah. For some reason, at that moment, he has to spit.
Gotta spit.
I never see guys spitting anywhere else, but you've got to take the leak and spit at the same time. There's that guy. Then there's the guy with the hands on the waist standing there peeing. That's like, I'm in charge. I like, look at me. I'm a big fucking cocky. Then there's the guy,
I go hand above the toilet.
Yeah, yeah. There's that. There's hand.
And I do that because I think it's funny. Hand above, and I go, yeah. Just really let people know that this is a big piss.
I'm both hands up against it, and my cheek against the wall.
Yeah.
And then I'm going
out,
like this.
Licking the.
But as I approach the urinal, I'm already letting sounds out of feeling relief.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I'm not even there yet. I'm like 10 feet away.
I think that's hilarious because there's an extra thought level.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the key to all this shit. Like, we're all talking about being PC. Everything that's not PC is funny.
Yeah.
Like, it can be funny. Anything.
Sure.
Someone was like, you can't make jokes about. There's no subject that's off limits as far as being funny.
How about I'll go through a line of guys peeing and stand at the urinal and go. And as I'm walking up, I do the whole, like, And I'm not even, my zipper's not even down yet. So immediately I got everyone's attention. Yeah. And then I go, as you hear the zipper, they hear my zipper go down. And then I go, I let out these words. Here we go.
I love that guy.
Here we go.
That is always a guy. Here we go. Like, this is a big experience. Like, they have a colostomy bag.
And it's all about them. It's like all about me. Like, here we go. Like
the,
here.
Well, it's like when the person.
The party's starting now, guys. It's just started now. I know what you guys are doing. Here, it starts now.
That's the peeing equivalent of going, ah, choo, yeah, when you sneeze. Like, you can't handle it. Yeah. Like, you're like reading a sneeze script.
Yeah. But here, like, I do freeze at times. I don't know why. And I've actually frozen. And then you're standing there where it's obvious to the guy. Usually, not when there's a line, usually it was a guy right next, yeah, to you, which is you and him. And there's silence in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. There's no sounds, silence. He's clearly going and nothing's coming out of you.
I hate when someone shits next to you and they start talking.
Oh, yeah. Or moaning. Or
like, ugh. Yeah, bad one. Oh, yeah. And like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Why do I have to listen to that?
Or you hear a guy taking a shit, he goes, fucking Obama. You're like, what the?
Made it political.
This is gonna get, what are we gonna, this dissertation?
One move I used to pull, and I think going back to his, like, you know, my buddies and I, we would always give each other for being gay. It's funny.
It is.
I know, like,
it's not an anti-slur toward gays. It's just a word, right? Is it, you know, I don't know.
I think I would make fun of my gay friends for, yeah, being straight.
Yeah.
Like, I would do it the other way. It's, yeah, just that you know that they don't want that.
It's like, if your friend has a mole on his face and everyone makes fun of the mole, it's a term of endearment.
I think
really.
Also it's like going the extra level. Like, I think, like, what you're saying is like, when you go, like, instead of just going up to the toilet and just being like,
yeah,
you do the two arms,
and
like,
cheek, you know, up
and cheek up against, like
I'm
you
in
have
pain.
To cartoon it enough that it's not being,
yeah,
hateful. So no. I think, like, I hear what this guy's saying. Like, that's just dudes being dudes, man.
It's all how you say it. If you say, hey, oh, God, you're so gay.
I mean,
you're being playful, but if you're like, you're gay, yeah, faggot.
That sounds hateful.
That's hateful.
And just know that anytime you do jokes like that, you are walking a tightrope where you're going to sound like an asshole.
Yeah.
So if you don't say, I'm just trying to be funny, if it's not funny, then you don't have to say that.
You could say, I'm so
sick. Like, if it's funny, you don't have to say that shit.
You could be, if you're funny in life, you could say anything. It's like the old, yeah, saying, you could say anything vicious or horribly disgusting on a text, but if you follow with LOL, everyone's like, oh, he's a comedian. It's funny. It's what you say.
Here's another move I used to pull. I used to go pee next to my buddies.
Yeah.
I would do this to my buddies, not random people.
Yeah.
And I would just start holding their hand, like, go to
hold. Oh,
like,
I do that. Yeah.
Go to hold their hand.
Not at the urinal. I've done that.
At the urinal, yeah, just go and hold their hand.
Yeah.
That's like a funny move.
Or tap their rear end.
Yeah, a little credit card swipe up the anus.
Well, was he really talking about like calling stuff gay anyway? I think it's sort of like,
I think
your friend
just,
like, hands something, you go, oh, thanks, sweetie. Like, you just say, you, I know, think, like, that,
yeah,
type of thing,
I mean,
I think is funny.
Totally funny. Yeah. It's totally cool. I think you should start removing the word faggot from your vocabulary. I think that's offensive because it's just a hard G, man.
It's a hard, yeah. It's a, yeah,
that's
faggot.
N word and F word. Those G's are tough to not sound hateful with.
Right. It's like, right. It's like the N word, you know, you don't say N word.
It's only funny coming from the person who is it.
Right. Right.
You know, like, N word from a black guy is funny when,
like,
you hear
don't,
them say it.
Yeah.
F word from a gay guy is funny. Like, we had Mateo Lane on
last week.
N word
bad, but porch monkey, hilarious. Hilarious.
To some, let's do one more email, then we'll go to the hypotheticals. You got time? You good, Bob?
Yeah. Yeah.
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com here with Bob DeBono. We're also here at Stand Up New York, Stand Up New York Labs. Go to standupny.com. Bob is here all the time. I'm here all the time. Standupny.com. Use the promo code TFM. You get free tickets to any show here at the club. Also, standupnylabs.com. You can check out all the great podcasts. You can also donate. Mansamp, why don't you tell them about the donate button?
Yeah, if you go to standupnylabs.com, you can go to the entertainment section, mm-hmm, and you can find whatever podcast you're into. Obviously, you guys are probably into TFM, and there's a donate button there, and you can donate through PayPal.
You got your mom's credit card. Use it.
Yeah.
Mansamp's got to eat.
We demand we get $10,000, yeah, today.
Anything else? I don't know. Guys, harryschmuckler@gmail.com. Also, my website. Right now, if you're watching on the I don't know who would be watching this right now, but I'm wearing one of my t-shirts that I sell. Go to jtraincomedy.com, emoji t-shirts, jtraincomedy.com. You can see all my dates too. I'm on stage a lot coming up, coming to your city. Let's go to this email. It's from, this was funny to me. I'm a high school senior and have recently got myself into a bit of a love triangle. Let's start from the beginning, shall we? Why does he have to do that? That's not even a funny line. Just get to it.
So in, you're so in yourself.
Last summer, I hooked. I mean, we're all. This podcast is about being in yourself. Last summer, I hooked up with a girl a few times. Let's call her Girl One. Okay, creative. And then there's Girl Two. Girl Two and I started Snapchatting a few weeks before school started, and things had gotten pretty flirty. Saturday before school started, Girl One had an open house, which I gladly attended. But after a plethora of fireball shots, I ended up in Girl One's bedroom getting a beach. Sounds like a good night. So Girl One, open house, beach. Okay, Girl Two, Snapchat, flirty.
Right.
Here's where the fun and games all stopped. I walked into my Spanish class to see both of them in it. No worries, I told myself. He played it cool.
Yeah, he said it out loud to himself, yeah. Too.
No worries, bro. Just walks into Spanish class and just like sees them.
Yeah.
No worries.
He looked around.
Told myself as the teacher gave out the seating chart. Oh, remember seating charts?
Oh my God, bring me back.
Oh my God, I remember my Spanish class. So I'll tell this story real quick. I used to have this Spanish teacher in high school, and she had a haircut that looked like the head of a penis.
Yeah.
And she was out of her mind, okay?
It's insane.
This Spanish class, it was like the remedial Spanish class, so it had like every fuck up. And, you know,
idiot.
Like you know if you're in a dumb class when you're like you're in there with like a couple of seniors, you know, every age group's represented, and I was just really bad at Spanish.
A special ed kid.
It was there's one kid
that have autism.
There's two teachers because they had to bring in the special teacher that walks around with the kid.
Is autistic.
Yeah, you know what's bad, and I was in this class and it was like. But we had like one of those classes that you look around, and you're like, oh, this is going to be a fun year because everyone in here is a fuck
up. And you're going to be the star of the class.
I'm going to nail it. Yeah. So I walk in, it's freshman year. It's this teacher that my cousin actually, I don't know, my cousin was.
Where'd you go to school again?
I'm from Needham, outside of Boston. So I went to Needham High. My cousin actually, this teacher claimed to have a breathing problem, and she was out of her gourd. And, you know, like, I love teachers, but like, there's some teachers that are just playing this fucking system. Like listen, it's a tough job. I agree, get summers off. But then there's some that you're like, okay, you're not sick once every week. And like, you know, you could just tell this woman had it figured out. And she claimed to have a breathing problem to the point where if someone had like cologne on, she'd go, somebody has cologne on, and just run out. And you'd be like, oh, this.
So every day I'd be wearing cologne.
Yeah. So run out. One of the days my cousin actually took, for whatever reason, was like, let's get this teacher, and poured a thing of cologne into the radiator, and it just blew out. And she walked in, she was like, somebody sprayed something, ran out, and then literally didn't show up to the class for like a month. Like, and then he got suspended for this. Like, don't do this,
Lord.
If you're in high school. Don't do this. He got suspended. It was a whole fucking thing. But this class was just like animals, like they just with this one crazy teacher who you like, you know, there's just like some older women just like, I see it in New York all the time. Like where you run into, like if you walk into an older woman and she reacts like, oh!
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this woman shouldn't be in society.
It's the same woman.
Something happened to her.
It's the same woman that when the express train goes by, they have their hand over the ears, like they're being stabbed.
They can't stand the sound. Yes. So like, I just remember the seating chart had it. So it was me and this one guy who I played football with, who was like a junior and I'm a freshman. He's in this class and his name is big, huge black dude. And we called D Money, and D Money's behind me. I'd never met him before, like only at football practice. So we knew each other from football, but I was like a freshman and he's a junior, and he's behind me. And there's a teacher who I'm like, I think she's crazy, but I'm a freshman, so I'm nervous. It's my first day of class. And he's behind me just going, penis head, and you're just looking at this woman who has the penis head haircut. And you're like, here we go. Going to be a long year in this class. And it's like, now I can't get away from this. Like, oh, miss, can I change my seat? I can't concentrate with the penis head chorus going on behind me. So just, but my worries. So this guy walks in, he's got a seating chart. I'm seated right between girl one and girl two. Girl one is cool. That's the one who had the party, gave him the beach, but has sent nudes out to the entire state, so therefore has a terrible rep. She's a 6'9" I think this is the latest in a podcast we've ever explained this. We have a rating system here in the podcast. Face, body, personality.
Oh, okay.
6'9"
I used to do that.
Yeah, the area code method. Girl two is awesome, he writes. We always crack jokes to one another. This is the one he hasn't hooked up with. Notice the one he hasn't hooked up with is awesome, and the one he's gotten with is such a slut.
Yeah.
That's guys how it just, always goes.
Aren't we pigs?
Oh, such idiots. And then to one another, and is a 7, 8, 9 Girl two knows I've gotten with girl one in the past. Is it worth trying to go for girl two, or should I just play it safe and fall into the pussy net, which is in girl one? Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. What do you think? He's got girl one that he's never hooked up with, or that he's hooked up with. Girl two that he wants to hook up with. Does he risk girl one to go for girl two?
Well, girl one's a slut.
Yeah, right? That's what he claims.
Yeah, so who cares? She's not going to be hurt.
It's something. It says something about guys that any girl that hooks up with us is a slut.
Yeah, and of course. Double standard. It's disgusting. Yeah,
just because doesn't it make us the bad person if she would get with us?
Right, we're scumbags.
We're being assholes to ourselves by saying
we're the
that.
Ones that if they don't sleep with us, we're like prude, and then they sleep with us, we're like slut. They can't win. They can't win.
I don't know. I think the way to play it is, listen, you ever see that Seinfeld episode where George is like, if it's a, it's only a lie. It's not a lie if you believe it. You know, that episode, I have that same motto for awkwardness. I've never had an awkward moment. Never. Because I live by this motto. It's only awkward if you make it awkward. Awkward isn't anyone else's responsibility. It is your responsibility. So if you walk into that class and you're like, hey, what's up, girl one, blowjob. Hey, girl two. Want to fuck you. Like, and you just call
no
it out.
No worries.
No worries. Just want to, if you just like own that situation. You ever notice like when you meet somebody like, and you see somebody at like somewhere you work or wherever at like a comedy club and you don't introduce yourself to them the first time. Mm-hmm. So then every other time it gets harder to introduce yourself.
What you're saying is, and this is what they teach you in acting, call out the elephant in the room. If you say something or do something stupid, if you call it out and you own it and go, oh my God, I just did that, and then you remove the awkwardness. Yes. Now it's their problem.
Totally. So I think not even calling it out with these girls, but I think like, you know, you start playing them off each other.
Right. You don't have to feel awkward. With them both. You didn't do anything. It's not your problem.
No.
This is their problem.
This is their problem. So
they shouldn't have gotten in the same class.
they shouldn't.
Idiots.
They shouldn't have tried to get a high school education.
Really?
It's their problem. No, but I think what you do is you sit down, you own the one that you hooked up with, you own that fact. Hey, what's happening? Saw you a couple weeks ago. Girl two who you crack jokes with, still be cool with her.
Yeah.
Still pursue her. I think you pursue the one that you haven't gotten with, because then the girl that you've gotten with will only come after you more.
And let it come to you. You don't have to force it. If the girl two really likes your, if you play it cool with the girl number two, she'll invite you to take the next step. You won't even have to
totally.
Force it.
And also, you have a whole year to play this out. No rush. You don't have to come in there hard.
And if you're both lousy students, summer school.
Yeah,
so you got like another 2 month buffer.
Don't come in there with a full boner. Come in there.
Flaccid. Nothing.
Nothing going on. Nothing. Don't even make it about hooking up. And what you do is...
Come in there with a skin tag on your balls.
Yeah. And you got to be... And the thing in high school... the thing about high school is... High school, you can't hook up during the day. So be the fucking man during the day. Don't... Be cool and fun.
Right.
And make it about being friends during the day. At night is when the wildcat comes.
Yeah, right.
Because you only
Friday
get...
night... The chill, the fall air, football game, and she's wearing your jean jacket.
There it is. Pack of smokes.
Is that still happening? Do people still wear jean jackets in high school?
Jean jacket girls, it's coming back.
Is this coming back?
It's a comeback, yeah.
When they wore your jean jacket, you were in. But they were wearing
weird?
Your...
Yeah. You know what's weird when you see a girl wearing a dress with a jean jacket?
You know she's been probably...
Well, it kind of looks like Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
That's
like,
a weird
thing. No pants, can you imagine?
Yeah. A dress
and then
a
you just
jacket.
Put on a jacket and then you're just walking with no pants.
Yeah, that's a weird.
A pantless jacket.
What type
weird,
of person
right?
is that? That's a weird getup. Like,
I've
you don't
seen
know
it
what
before.
You want. You want to be a princess, but you want to be a biker chick.
Yeah, I've seen it before where I'm like, jean jacket with a dress. I don't know how Winnie the Pooh did it.
Or you ever see those girls with a kind of sundress, but wearing high tops?
I've seen that. That's a big thing now.
What are you kidding me? What do you get the now? If you had one sneaker on, I'm turned on by that.
That's what gets you going. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Bob, thanks for coming on. This
thanks
is great.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to keep sending those emails. They get so much better every fucking week. Guys, keep spreading the word. We're going to go come back with Would You Rathers and some news. We'll be back in just a minute. I can't say life's a beach because of what you make of me. You make your own beach, so you got to leave me. Hey, guys, welcome back. Bob DeBono, thank you for coming on, man.
Having a blast.
Fucking great. You've been awesome. Awesome answering those emails. Please keep sending them in, tfmpodcast@gmail.com. Keep spreading the word, guys. I know you're at school. You're back in college, back at school, on the way to your class, at the gym, road trips. This is the perfect companion.
During a final.
During a final. During class. Never graduate.
Who cares? Yeah, you don't graduate. But you've got all the content that you're listening. You're getting great advice.
Yeah, so listen. Keep telling friends. If you got a new pledge class or you got some guys in your house that don't listen, turn them on to it. I would even encourage you to go back and bring on the Drinking Game podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think we're kind of planning on doing a new
one. We're doing a new one coming up. Maybe this weekend you're on?
Yeah, I should be here.
Maybe we can do it this weekend. We'll figure it out. Yeah. But I think we're going to do the Drinking Game podcast is a good one because it gets your friends involved. Maybe someone who doesn't listen, they can go and be a part of it while you guys do your pregame. So keep spreading the word. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending those emails. Here's a shout out. J-Train started listening to you. Oh, this is about an episode from 2 weeks ago because we're taping this week out. We had a guy write in with a nub arm.
Oh, yeah.
Who actually messaged me on Snapchat. I'm JTrain56 on Snapchat. He was a great email about how he wants to hook up with a nub and all this shit.
With another nub? He has a nub, but he wants to hook up with another nub?
No, he had a girl that was weird with the nub. Mm-hmm. So you know, Bobby Kelly was on. He was like, oh, yeah, you got to use it to, like, hook up. You got to, like, use it on you know, whatever. So J-Train started listening when you had that hot co-host. Love the episode this week, Dante Nero's podcast this week. He does a section on physical disabilities and picking up girls. So that kid probably has nothing going on today, and he needs to be listening to the Beige Phillips show anyways. Love the Beige Phillips show. We've had Dante on here a couple of times. So, Nub Kid, you should go listen to that.
That's incredible, actually.
I can't believe.
Go do that.
Man Sam, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Chris, we're going to do some Would You Rathers. You can follow Chris on Twitter, @ManSam. He's got the Mandatory Samson podcast every Friday morning. You can listen to that. Let's do some Would You Rathers. You ready?
Yeah, of course.
J-Train, would you rather have to follow 3 customers home from Taco Bell a day for an entire month and have to wipe their ass when they get the PTBD, post-Taco Bell diarrhea, or take a frozen piece of shit up your ass until it melts?
What the fuck?
And then he writes, for the Taco Bell part, that's 90 different asses you'd have to wipe. You can't wear gloves or anything else to make it less disgusting. The piece of shit you have to put up your ass came from a redneck who ate at BW3's Blazing Wings the day before. Gosh. It's about a foot long and has chunks of corn in it. What would you do, Bob?
Wow. Oh, man.
Do you wipe those guys' asses?
Or do you stick a frozen
shit
piece of dung up your ass?
Until it melts.
Until it melts. I guess I would do that.
You do the frozen.
Frozen
Why
dung.
Why is that?
I don't know.
How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to go with the frozen one. I don't like to wipe my own ass.
You could convince your own brain that it's your own shit coming out.
Well, the other thing,
I would go into survival mode.
The other thing is, it's also about timing. I don't have the time in the day right now as it is
to
wipe my own ass.
I can't even kiss enough asses in one day. Now I gotta wipe them.
Now I gotta wipe. I gotta go to their house. I gotta smell their house.
Yeah,
smelling someone's house can be just as bad as smelling their farts.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to smell your house, your couch, your stupid.
You ever been in a room with your mom or your dad? I mean, dads think it's funny when they fart, right? My dad's like, that's what I think of you. And then my mother will do it. You don't hear it. Your eyes start bleeding. And then you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Ma, what was that? And then she'll be, oh, it's not me. It's the medicine. Who fucking says that? It's the medicine.
That makes it worse. Yeah. I don't like when someone you don't expect farts and then like brags about it.
Yeah.
That was me. Right. Like almost their happiness with it makes it more disgusting.
Yeah, like a priest or something.
How about you're about to have sex with a girl and you walk in the room and you never want to see this. She's naked standing by the bed going...
Yeah, for the listeners at home, Bob is waving as if to get smell away from his face.
Yeah, that's true.
That happened to me.
Really? With my ex-girlfriend, yeah.
She was just sitting up
by
the bed.
And then I was like, and then I got fucking pissed and I'm like, wait, you're kidding, right? Now you actually, oh, it's an accident. And
yeah,
I said, and you expect me to like fucking do this with you? I'm supposed to be excited now with you in this room smells like a, like
wouldn't
Nagasaki.
That's like a scary, that's a scary like thing to like,
awful. That's a
imagine farting in front of your girlfriend. Then all of a sudden she gets more wet. And now that has to be a thing.
It's a dangerous precedent.
Now you have to, cause what if you smelled that and she was like, waving at her face, and then all of a sudden your dick just went from 0 to 60.
Yeah,
and it's like
that's like a new
fetish.
That's
your fault. Oh, look what we found out today.
Fetish.
Yeah. So we're all going with the shit up the ass.
Oh, is that what you've decided also? Yeah.
Oh, come on! It's the amount of time I have to spend going to these people's houses. It's 3 a day
and
to wipe people's asses.
And more importantly, it's shit coming out of your own ass as opposed to your hand going in all these other asses.
J-Train, I'm bored as hell at work, so I figured I'd write in with a quick, simple, not disgusting hypothetical that I heard on a different podcast.
All right.
I don't know if that is
plagiarizing.
Is that kosher?
Yeah.
Well, we gave credit. Fine. I mean, it's okay.
I wish he had written the podcast so we could give it credit. Would you rather have $50,000 deposited in your bank account or receive $5 million in pennies? Here's the catch. You can't have them rolled. You have to go. You can't go to Coinstar and can't take them to the bank and take them to the bank. You just have to deal with 500 million of those annoying bastards.
Oh, part one.
My lazy ass would probably take the 50K, but maybe I'm missing some underlying advantage. I don't know. What's your move? P.S. Bring back Jamie Lee soon. Yeah, I gotta. Once she's in town, I haven't seen. She's not around that much lately. She's in LA, but we'll definitely get her back. What would you do? 50K?
50K.
That, really? That's no, how lazy no, you no, are?
What do I do with all these pennies?
I'll tell you what you
$5
do.
$5 million?
But you just gotta. So you can put them in your own little thing?
You quit your job to that. Your job is now. Rolling pennies.
Oh, then I would do that.
You build a Scrooge McDuck style money vault.
He writes,
you can't dive into it.
He writes, you can't have them rolled. Here's what I would do.
But I can roll them.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, I can roll them?
As long as we can. I thought he said you can't like roll them ever. Like, what am I
supposed to do?
Go out with pennies in my pocket?
Your new job is now organizing pennies.
You hire somebody to do it. You have $5 million.
You make $5 million a year for 1 year
to
roll pennies for the year.
Yeah, I would do that.
I think I'd be okay with
that.
Yeah, you take it. It's fine.
Well, you throw on a podcast.
And I'm going to be home anyway because I'm going to have that big shit up my ass.
Yeah,
you throw on a podcast.
Frozen shit.
Yeah, you throw on the TFM podcast and you're rolling pennies all day. You don't have to worry about shit. What do you care?
Right. No, you only have to worry about shit. That's what I'm saying.
And the best is when you get to pay girls to put shit up your ass
with
rolled pennies. Would you rather only listen to which genre of music for the rest of your life? Death metal, kind of stuff that makes you want to rip your own face off. Christian rock, we're talking gospel quotes and all, no Torah shit. Kids bop. How you gonna bone a chick with kids bop in the background? Easily.
Yeah.
Said Jared.
Hanson.
There's another one. That's like the fart that you smell that gets you hard. What if Kids Bop?
Yeah,
throw that on. Oh, my God.
She likes kids.
And then he writes, D, Nickelback. Fuck that. Show kicks ass. Shout out, man, Sam. Keep it up.
Oh,
Snapchat,
hey.
Shout out, Muniz_Nick. Muniz with a Z _Nick. So what do you think? You have to listen to one genre of music the rest of your life.
Christian rock.
Christian rock, really?
It's optimistic. You can, you know. Yeah. This guy's good beat.
What do you go?
Yeah, I'd go Christian rock or Nickelback. But I mean, Christian rock, it's like, it sounds fine.
Just, just
ignore the
Jesus
stuff.
Every
it's
other
fine.
Word.
Yeah, it's okay. It sounds like
no,
real
Jesus
music.
Jesus Christ is saving your soul.
I go Kids Bop. At least I can keep up with like what's trendy.
That's okay.
You know,
that's
at least
true.
I have, at least I'm not like, who's Katy Perry? At least I'm like, oh, Katy Perry from that song from the Asian chick.
Yeah.
That 8-year-old Asian girl.
Right. It's
is that what Kids Bop
singing,
is?
Right?
Is kids singing
kids
famous?
Singing, like,
oh, I see.
Songs of the day. And I like Top 40. I'd throw Top 40 on for an hour and I listen to it.
Yeah.
I'm brainless like that. But I just like how they have the interracial kids singing it. Like they have, it looks like a UN meeting.
Yeah.
Like we had to have, yeah. You know, like have you ever seen the commercial?
An Indian boy singing Mariah Carey. Yeah.
It's like sad. Like what Indian boy is into that? None.
They don't even know. Yeah. They don't even get that music over there.
Saying like you just hear an, just like a little Asian boy singing 50 Cent. Yeah. You know, like this hardcore.
You might be persuading me to switch my idea here.
I think kids, Bob, that's the way to go. Those commercials are hilarious. You have to marry one. This is kind of a long one. We have some news?
Yeah, we get some good news, I think.
Let's do this one. You have to marry one. A girl who is based on the area code method. So this is the area code method we just discussed. Face, body, personality. You marry one of them. A 199, mm-hmm. a 919, or a 991.
All right. So face, what is it?
Face is a one. Body, personality, or 9 to 9. 9 face, 1 body, 9 personality. Face and body are 9s, 1 personality. You have to marry one.
Oh, well.
Then he breaks it down for us. 199, you never want her to meet your friends because she's so fugly. It would have to be a destination wedding, so at least half your friends and family couldn't see her. All wedding photos from the rear to hide her snaggle tooth. Paper bag banging at night. Paper bag over the face, he writes in parentheses. 919, you don't have to worry about your friends finding out because the bitch can't find the door. But man, does that beautiful face fellatio well, and you're truly her, and you truly enjoy her company. Uh-huh. 991, yeah, she's hot, but she sucks. Not in the literal term. Does sex count when she starfishes with a dry vajayjay? And your friends, yeah, right. Never see those boys again. I predict, and he writes, I predict you pick the 991 because you're a shallow piece of shit.
He writes, he's right.
And he writes, fatties need love too, but Snaggletooth, fuck that bitch. Love the podcast. Been listening for over 2 years at this point, and enough with the Snapchat shout outs. Nothing screams I have no friends or self-worth like using a podcast to fish for snaps. And obviously redact my name. I'm married with kids and shit. So what do you guys think? 199, 991, or 919? Who do you marry?
I mean, I'd be going 919 or 991, depending on, you know, whether you feel like dealing with her shit personality.
Face matters so much.
Absolutely. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking,
well, how bad can the body be? She's like, she'd have to be like a chub.
I would say, like, let's say, I mean, a one body, that's, you know.
That's not just chub. That's like,
that's
unattractive.
That's medically.
Like, weird looking.
Medically, yeah. Medically off.
Yeah. Her body.
Let's just say the one is just like physically.
Half of a golf club coming out of her twat.
Her boobs look like the you know those books where
her boob looks like a hot water bottle.
They just flip up.
Yeah.
They're like curtains instead of, you know, they just go flapjacky.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think
beautiful face is
beautiful
so important.
Face, great personality.
919. I go 919.
Yeah, I think
I can deal with the body.
I would go 919 too.
I'd
you
be
deal
fine.
With the bad body. Yeah, I mean, she's not like fucking obese, right? I mean, like overweight, like 20 pounds. Or?
Yeah, she's like 150.
All right, no. I can. Yeah, as long as
jokes, people.
As long
these
as I'm
jokes.
Not tapping out.
Yeah, I think no, she's like 300.
Oh, 300?
Yeah, let's say she's...
All right, then maybe I'd want to go with the ugly face, great body, good personality.
Ugly face is rough. I mean, we're talking to one ugly face.
I've seen
how bad can
some
it, as
beautiful
300-pound
women. I think I could do it.
Right.
I think the beautiful face does...
But what about those giant dumps? That's what I'm worried about.
Just those shits?
Those, yeah.
Just those...
You know, yeah, those Weight Watcher dumps.
What if she forgot...
Those chemical dumps. You know, with all the Weight Watchers like...
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Send in your would you rathers to TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Bob, Chris, let's do some news.
So this is one, I don't know if people like outside of comedy heard about it, but I think it's going to be... You know, it's going to become a big thing. Steve Renazzisi, who's the star of The League, one of the stars, lied about escaping from the World Trade Center on 9/11. And he just admitted it over his Twitter. Mm-hmm. He
I mean, you've read this story, right, Bob?
I have.
What do you think? It's pretty crazy.
I got to tell you, and some people were like, oh, go easy on him. I can't. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just the way I am. I just think that Look, people fabricate things in your life, and unfortunately, it's a huge sign of insecurity if you constantly lie or if you pathologically lie. But when you're lying over something where it's a tragic event and so many people's lives have been affected, and you're somehow trying to draw attention to you to make yourself look like a victim, that shows deeply somewhere in his psyche. There's a void where he needs to feel. Like, get attention. And that's medically, I think there's something a little bit wrong with someone who does
you
that.
You got to be so fucked up to do this.
Yeah. It wasn't like he made a joke. Like, it wasn't, I had to go back and listen to it. If he made a joke and then they took it the wrong way, said that was an off-color joke, you shouldn't have said that. That's one thing you could say. It's not funny.
Different story.
Trying to be funny. But I listened to it.
On Mark Maron.
He went on and gave details about the whole event. No different
that
than Tom Brokaw. Brian Williams.
I didn't listen to it. It was on WTF. He did that.
But he's talked about it a number of times. That's the thing. Like,
it wasn't just one time that he slipped and it was like, okay, this is now your life.
Yeah.
Right.
And let me tell you, if you're doing that, you're doing that in other areas of your life.
Here's the thing. How did his parents, did they think this was the story? Did the parents think this? I don't know.
It's a good question.
The parents weren't around for comment because I guess they said they were in the hospital because they went through Pearl Harbor. So
it's tough.
Her dad's a hostage in Vietnam, and her mother was in Pearl Harbor.
Like son. Yeah, it's they were. So, they're actually Japanese. They were Hiroshima. Yeah. They don't look it like it. Yeah. But in full honesty, I've opened for Steve a few times. I've asked him to be on this podcast. So it would have been weird if he had been on this and
then
come up.
About it,
Right.
And I was thinking about that. And he was always very nice to me.
It seems pretty universal that people are like, wow, that sucks because he's funny and a nice guy.
Yeah, it's just so weird. Like, that's like it's like finding out someone's fetish.
Yeah, it's like finding out. Like, I leave here today. You're like, the bone is a nice guy. Then you find out, like, I'm like, I've killed three people.
Yeah, it is. Like, but it's as crazy as that to diverge. And that's the thing. Like, he didn't need to do this. It's like one of those weird things. It's like, and I can understand if you make up a story at the beginning of a career.
Well, that is kind of what it is. Like, he kind of used it as his origin story, where it's like, oh, I, 9/11. Big turning point in my life. Then I moved to LA and I became
a comic.
If
you even look deeper than that, the fact that how I couldn't ever say that and feel good about myself. We all do things to get ahead in the business where you have to maybe.
How do you wake up every day?
Exactly. Like,
I mean,
saying
he told
that
me, but
with
commitment. I opened for him and he told me this same fucking story.
I heard.
Oh, wow. Did he really?
So like, I'm opening for him. I'm like asking him because I was really just started.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I told him I used to work in finance, and he's like, me too. And I was like, oh, really? And then he like brought up 9/11 and stuff. I was like, oh, that's a crazy story.
And I saw his one-man show where it's called 9/11. He reenacts the whole event. And he was so committed.
It's just him surfing down the World Trade Center.
Just all they had on the stage was just stairs.
And it's just amazing when you hear, like, what bothers me is that, like, I watched the BC. Do you ever see the Red Bandana story on ESPN?
No.
This guy from BC. Go look it up. It's an amazing. I cry every fucking time I watch it. And it's this guy who is...
So you had a really funny tweet about that. You're like, I could never explain why I'm crying watching this.
Yeah, I'm crying for an ESPN thing.
I've cried so many 30 for 30s. Forget about it.
And I'm like sitting there a mess. And it's a story about this guy who played lacrosse at BC. And he worked at a trading firm. And then he's in the building that day. And he... you got to go watch the story. It's amazing because he was a volunteer firefighter in Nyack. And he... They said, everything happens. He calls home. He's like, I'm okay. And then they tell the story through the... And then this woman, this Asian woman is like, some guy stood up and was like... And his whole life he had carried around a red bandana. Mm-hmm. Like that was like his thing.
Was he Spanish?
Yeah, he was in the Crips or whatever the red one is.
Cuban migrant.
No, but he's
it's blood.
He had this. Oh, blood. Sorry. So I guess that makes sense. The red. So, he had this. He was just known for this red bandana. He would always wear whatever. And this Asian woman's telling the story about how like she's she gets thrown back by the explosion and she wakes up and can't see anything. And one guy stands up and is like, if you can stand, go, and like motivates everyone. He's like, I found a stairway. He leads all these people down the stairway. And at a certain point, they get down to the safer area and he runs back up the stairs to save more people.
And he died.
And he passed away.
How do you
away.
Not cry about that?
And then the amazing part of the story is like the 6 months later, the parents who are grieving their son read this account in the paper about this woman who was saved by this guy with a red bandana.
Wow.
And at that point you're like, holy fucking shit. Like, you know, the world works in mysterious ways.
You said he
like
was a lacrosse guy?
Lacrosse guy from BC. And like, it's just amazing that the world worked out to tell his parents his story. Like, it's kind of like that movie, like the M. Night Shyamalan movie, with the aliens, with the
signs.
Water
signs,
and like, the water like comes. It kind of like it's that like goosebumps moment.
Right.
You got to go watch it. Go, it's online.
But
it's
also,
amazing.
Wasn't that kind of an act? Was that an act of selfishness, though?
What's that?
Well, you have a lacrosse team you're on. You know, you have a season coming up, and you're more you're interested in fucking around, you know.
Just running stairs.
You know, trying to be a hero. No one ever takes that angle.
Yeah, I don't know. You got a good point there.
Idiot.
I just like, you hear that story, and you're like a mess crying. And then you're like, how does he sleep at night?
That's why. And that's
after
where.
After watching that story, how do you not just come out and be. Because it took him getting caught.
Well, no, that's the weird thing. It didn't really, I mean, certain things started to come out where people were like, that's kind of weird, his response to it, but he did take it upon himself. He tweeted and he was like, look, like, how can I tell my kid? Part of his quote was, how can I tell my children to be honest when I haven't come clean
about
this?
Well, no,
but
the New York Times was going to write this story and they told him and then he came out.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. I'm pretty positive. Right. The best is, and this is hilarious. We've had him on the podcast before, Pete Davidson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
whose dad reached out to him, died in 9/11. Yeah. But it was so funny. He tweeted at him like, "Yeah, man, we all make mistakes." And then he's like, "My dad's like, what did he tweet?
Meet my dad for lunch.
I'll meet my dad for lunch later." And then I guess he didn't get it, and he wrote back something like that wasn't.
He did. He was like, "Thanks, Pete. I really appreciate it." And Pete was like, "I don't think you got the.
You got the joke." Yeah. And it's like, Twitter, you just put it away, man. Just don't. Just go away.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't win in this situation. So I don't know. It's sad to hear that. You know, I met him the first time. We had a really good time. I was hosting, and then I came back and featured for him, and there was like a weirdness, but he was nice.
Weirdness after you, after.
The second time I opened for him, it wasn't as fun as the first time.
Oh.
But I don't know. I was just like, oh, maybe there's something off. But I don't think that between one and the other, he was like, man, I got to get rid of that 9/11 story.
People are very complex, and you don't really know. You know, the face that people put out there you worked in the business world, that guy that works in the cube next to you, you only know the face that he lets you see, which is the face that has to abide by the rules of a company and has to follow a handbook and can't do this because you get in trouble. But it's a shame because he's got a character flaw, and now it's come to surface, and he should really, instead of making a stupid tweet like, oh, I'm sorry, and you know, I feel not sorry, you should really come clean and go, you know, I got to figure out what this is, and then go fix
work on it,
and then maybe go volunteer.
Be an advocate for people who,
right.
You know.
Because you're not hurting yourself. You're more, he's probably so narcissistic, I hope he's not like this, that he's so worried about that he got caught. You'd be worried about all the families who really did lose people like Pete Davidson and everyone else, and go, how selfish of me, because I'm taking away
some of the care that they could have gotten or some of the attention.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a shitty story because he was always nice and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's also like, dude.
What are you doing?
But let's go to the next story.
What do you do on 9/12? That's what I want to hear, that fabrication.
And the thing is, he was in New York.
The next day he rescued a girl from a rape.
But even just being in New York, like, you have a story.
Yeah, you do.
So what did you need?
Yeah.
Where were you then?
Yeah,
I was in high school. I remember, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah. I remember I was in gym class and they were like, go home.
I was working at my sales job at Clear Channel, and it was right in Times Square, and right across the street from our office was the Good Morning America Studios. So they show everything on the screen, and they showed, everything was on the screen. I have a picture at home. I should find it and bring it in. And everyone in Times Square was watching, looking up the big TV, watching the thing burning and then falling. So you see all these picture people just like no one was moving.
Was everyone just frozen?
Frozen, yeah. And then it toppled down, and then I walked like all the way down because I was me. I wanted to go. I wanted to go help, like see if I could somehow volunteer. And they wouldn't let you anyone near the where you know like half a quarter of a mile out. You weren't. It was a perimeter. You couldn't go in there.
Oh my God.
And then you were just down there, me and a bunch of construction workers and thousands of people. Like you know, there was no sounds of horns. There was no. This city was
eerie
silent.
Quiet.
Like, eerie quiet. Yep.
I can't imagine that scene of being in Times Square. It's about to be that's out of a disaster movie.
It was.
Where you're
not
watching
one
that
horn,
video.
Not one horn. Like nothing. Not one silence.
Wow. Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, just to take that and make that your story, like you got to be so fucked up. I don't know. Let's go to the next story.
President Obama speaks out against PC colleges that, quote, coddle and protect students from different points of view, which I think is maybe interesting for people listening to this podcast.
I saw this. I think, like, it's getting to the point where, like, we're just everyone – it's, like, in vogue now to say – once the president says it, you're like, okay, now everyone's saying it's
saying,
too
well, I don't get it.
PC.
You can't say anything offensive?
No, he's saying it's – he disagrees with the idea of,
yeah, but
like,
then Obama wants to give everyone free college. Doesn't
no,
he?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, okay.
No.
I don't know. I thought that was like his
no,
thing.
No, just black.
No.
just his people. I don't know. I just like think Bernie Sanders coming out and saying that everyone should get free college. It's like,
yeah,
that to me is
everybody
coddling.
Everybody out there should get free college. Yeah. I really believe it. And Bernie, I'm not a socialist.
Yeah, him on these shows, it just looks like he's always sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, yeah, he's an old man, Bernie Sanders.
I mean, colleges are too PC. It's not the colleges, though. It's the kids.
Well, that's what he's talking. I mean, I have the whole quote here, but basically he's saying, like, you know, I don't agree that you, when you become students at colleges, have to be coddled and protected from different points of view. I think you should be able to. Anybody who comes speak to you and you disagree with, you should have an argument with them, but you shouldn't silence them by saying you can't come here and talk to us because we're too sensitive.
Well,
that's great.
Rob, you've done college shows before. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have you had any experience where people just, like, shut off for certain material?
The thing is, when you do colleges, a lot of times the university says you got to be
stay
very
clean.
PC, be clean. Yeah. But then you go there and the kids are like, come on, let's talk about pussy.
Yeah.
Let's hear some jokes about tits and make fun of my friend. He's a chink. And you're like, whoa, easy. I want to get paid. I want to get paid.
I'm trying to live a life here. Yeah. I think that's the issue. I think that is so much more of the issue. I was talking to these two girls. I don't know if I brought this up on a past episode.
I don't know.
I'm at UCB. Upright Citizens Brigade, okay? UCB East. Upright Citizens Brigade East is a room here in the city. I always have fun doing shows there. But
East,
it's like,
is there a West? Or is it
the original UCB.
The East is all the Asian kids.
All the that's
the West is like white kids.
Yeah. That's where they all hang out. And then they war once a year. They
who want to do improv?
They dance off. I'm at this show. I do the show and these two girls come out and they're like, they're just ultra. They just out of college. One just traveled the world, and the other like was just moved to New York to be with her girlfriend. But they're polyamorous. Like she was using all these words, polyamorous.
Oh my
and
God, I didn't know
you
what
can't.
That is.
And then she said something about like you shouldn't. Like she goes, rape jokes aren't allowed, right? And I was like, I kind of just like I was looking at them and they were using all these words and they were talking about like all these subjects, like you know we got to make sure everyone's equal and whatever. And do you think it's like PC? And I just said to them, I go, yeah, I think the problem is that when you're in college, it is the fake world. Like you don't, you have to, if you study, you'll get an A. You study for the test, you will do well on the test. If you go to class, you'll get credit for things. In the real world, if you go to work, you might go poor. You know, so you could be the most stand-up person alive and like do the right thing every single time and it still could not work out. Like I could be funny every night on stage and it could not matter because that's how life is because life isn't fair. So I think when people say get offended by things it's because they have the time to be offended. You know who doesn't have the time? The guy that's just trying to make his bucks, that has two kids, that's trying to pay his mortgage, that's trying to pay the car payment, that has his two kids and gets his one night of the week to go out and is just like, yeah, I just want to fucking hear about fart.
Yeah.
You know, like I want to laugh at that shit.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
it's a noble idea, but the idea of being the police for that all the time and trying to make sure people aren't saying stuff, that's where it gets crazy because you're never going to stop everyone.
And where's
from
the line drawn on what, I mean, when you get that PC, I mean, it's like you said, it's a noble thought in principle, but where is the line drawn of what becomes offensive and what's right. not? Now you're eliminating our First Amendment, which is free speech.
Yeah.
You can't say anything because someone might interpret it the wrong way. And that's what hurts comedy.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. Being offended is a luxury.
Yeah.
You have to have time to be offended. You have to like sit there and like write a response to let people know you're offended.
Yeah.
You know who else doesn't have time to be offended by shit? People who got to go to work every day and make money so they can eat and breathe.
Surviving.
Yeah. So and I think there's more people out there trying to survive and that can't respond than mm-hmm. there are people that, you know, the internet is full of the loud minority. I think that the people that are enraged on the internet, they're not the majority of people.
The analogy, too, is like the person who is on Facebook who's constantly posting shit every day, all day, because they're not out doing it. And they're the most opinionated because yes. they have nothing else to do.
Nothing
this
else.
This is their life, is just commenting and making remarks and being hateful or making stupid pictures. And while we're out there, I'm like, I'm posting shit. I'm not reading everyone's feed. I can't care less.
I just think when you hear about these, you know, like now UNC, I read today, UNC, their college newspaper is not going to say freshman.
Why?
Because it's a men. It doesn't exclude.
So it's like,
that is somebody with the time to think about that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that is somebody with the luxury.
So how are we supposed to say?
First year, which is insane to me.
Like, what about fresh cunts? Why can't they use that?
We'll call them all fresh cunts. I think that's
yeah,
the
guys
solution.
Don't care. I think guys wouldn't care.
No.
Call
no
me
guy.
A fresh cunt. I don't care. Where's the party?
Flip the bird of the air. Any other stories?
Yeah, we have more. I mean, I brought one about the GOP candidates proposed their Secret Service code names. You want to just run through those quick and you can make a comment or whatever. We don't have to.
What's another story?
Jealous girlfriend with the most savage move of the century burns her cheating boyfriend's dick with a hair straightener. Which he allowed her to do.
Okay, so he's into that. Straighteners are fucking dangerous.
They super are.
You ever see a girl, like you ever date a girl who like puts out the hair straightener and they're like, don't touch this, and they set up a perimeter around it.
Yeah.
And like, you fucking can't go near it. If you get near it, it is like these women are fucking playing.
Yeah.
With like
it's
I call it a
fire sword.
Yeah, it is unbelievable.
You could take that and literally just maim anybody with that.
Oh yeah, well this guy. Okay, so this guy cheated on his girlfriend. He was like, "Look, you could burn my dick with your hair straightener, like to make up for it." And
so did she clamp it?
No, but I mean, whatever. But it's
heard
completely
he
disfigured his dick. Yeah,
she went clamp. He went, fuck.
Another one of those moments where you find out someone's fetish.
Fuck, I'm gonna
the
come.
Worst time.
He's got the sexiest, straightest penis.
So they're together now. Like, is that?
I guess I don't know. But she's not going to jail because they had an agreement.
Well, that's a fucked up relationship. When she's like, okay, I just have to mutilate you, and then I'll be cool with it.
Well, they're both.
Every time she looks at that. Fucking burnt sausage.
What does he do if he lies to her? Does she stick a bobby pin in his ass? Like, are there other little penalties that he gets?
Well, they're both absolutely out of their minds because they apparently didn't realize that that was going to completely disfigure his dick for the rest of his life, and it's not going to work right. Yeah.
Does it not work right?
No.
In the shape of a curling iron.
This is the doctor, or the judge says, in short, his penis will be scarred for life, and he will suffer from a number of issues, including the proper function of his penis, not to mention the cosmetic and psychological problems associated with scarring such a sensitive site.
I feel for the guy. You know who I feel for? Like, you know, that girl must feel like $1 million.
I was just going to say
the one he cheated with.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Because she's like, I got the dick when it was still
good. The last one.
The last good dick.
She got the last version. She was such a prize. She was so hot to that other girl.
Before it became curling iron cock.
Well, thank you for bringing the news, Chris.
Yeah, thanks,
go follow him on Twitter, @Mansamp, Mandatory Samson Podcast, every Friday morning. Bob, thank you for coming on.
Thanks
You're
for
fantastic.
Having me, buddy. Thank
Go
you.
Go follow Bob DeBono @BobDeBono on Twitter, BobDeBono.com. Also YouTube.com/BobDeBono. Also on Race Wars, doing the voices and everything. So funny. I'm Jared Freed, JTrain56 on all platforms. We're here every Tuesday. Keep spreading the word. We'll be back next week. Have a good week.